This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
Hey, remember us? This is All the Rage TV Edition. I am Jason Hughes. I'm joined by Brandon C. Williams, as always.
The C was for canceled.
That's what happened last month. I don't know if
yeah,
you noticed. On,
it was canceled the month.
That, if yeah, I was just going to say, if you noticed on the All the Rage podcast network, as well as the larger 8 Days of Geek podcast network, I don't know that there were any podcasts. Maybe the tech one kept going.
The tech one was the only one that continued on. We all took vacations.
Yeah. Other than that, everyone was gone for June. We hope you had a great start to your summer. We certainly did. Brandon had a lot of big moments happening in his life.
I got a house.
He got a house in the middle of nowhere, which, full disclosure, is part of what happened.
Yeah.
But other than that, we're back, and we.
I'm on step one of becoming crazy hermit man.
You need to start growing your beard out.
I need some cats, a rocking chair, and a shotgun.
You know, you have two cats in your house now, so you're on your way.
Yep.
Just you grow your hair out, grow your beard out, so you can, kind of sit on your... You need to get a shotgun and sit on your front porch and just yell at anyone who gets anywhere near your property.
To shoot them. I'm ready for it.
Other than that, we did delay the TV one a little bit because we were kind of hoping that... San Diego Comic-Con would have something to say, and
they did
about movies, and I guess it was a little bit out of comics, not even a whole lot new there.
It was mostly movies, and it was mostly Marvel.
Yeah, and then as far as TV goes, it looks like all the major genre shows were there so that they could tell us everything we already knew. At least that's what it felt like. I'm sure there were some new things here and there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't the most... I think if you were a fan who was there, it was awesome being able to see everybody, but if you weren't there and you were just like, ooh, what's the big news out of San Diego? Then you were like, oh, there wasn't any big news out of San Diego. But there were still some things that happened. For me, honestly, one of the weirdest things that I read, I think it came out of San Diego, was that Joel McHale is going to be on Sons of Anarchy. And that just feels,
I saw that.
That just feels weird to me.
You know, there's been other comedians on there, though.
Yeah, but I'm not saying he won't do good.
Even Stephen King was on there, and he was great in his weird, creepy character.
Yeah, it was kind of a funny role. And maybe
stole,
he'll do...
like, a candlestick or something.
Yeah. Maybe he'll do fine. I don't know. Actually, the biggest news probably to happen in the last 2 months that affected both of us, I think mine happened within the last 2 months as well, is the big
it did.
The big battle between Dish Network and AMC, IFC, and a few channels that is still going. So, like Breaking Bad premieres Sunday night, which is the night we're recording this, and I can't watch it on my Dish Network. And then for you...
And your wife can't watch her weird silent movies that she watches on IFC.
I know. She's had to find them on other places. AMC, maybe?
TMC? Turner?
Pretty much, yeah. Yours seems to be even worse, though. I mean, mine is, AMC's a pretty big network, but DirecTV basically dropped all of the Viacom channels, which is quite a few
which
channels.
Which, for me, affects only three shows, but... There are three shows I really like. I mean, there's nothing on Nickelodeon that I watch that I can think of, except for Legend of Korra, the Avatar stuff. And, I mean, that just finished the season, so it'll be a while before that's back. But losing Comedy Central, I'm losing Tosh.0, which we'll get to that a little later. I'm losing Workaholics, which I love. And I'm losing South Park, which is insane. I've watched South Park since, like, season two.
And the weird thing about it is, there have always been these issues with providers, and it all comes down to the providers are arguing that the networks and the companies that own these networks want too much money for their retransmission. And they're saying the ratings don't justify how much money you want, and that if we pay you more, we have to raise our rates for our customers. But in the past, these have always been resolved fairly quickly. they've either there's been a deadline and they either get
not
resolved
with direct
right
though. I mean, think of G4.
Well, and that's the one example I would say where it didn't get resolved, and basically now it's been what, a year? They just said fuck
it. It's been more than that, I think. They just said I don't care anymore.
But what's interesting is usually these things get resolved, and now this Dish one's been going on over a month, and AMC actually came out with a statement saying, hey, we know you guys want to watch Breaking Bad, so we're going to put the premiere and stream it online for Dish customers. But, you know, it's been 5-6 weeks since this thing started, and there's no resolution in sight. The DirecTV Viacom one is brand new. This just happened. But already DirecTV is saying, well, we're going to give you guys, you know, Disney Junior or whatever to make up for Nick Jr. And they're trying to do all this alternate, we're giving you Fuse because you lost MTV and VH1.
Which is a better music channel anyway, but they can't replace Comedy Central.
No, I mean,
and for some people, I'm sure BET is an issue, but
right,
I could care less.
But what's weird is these issues aren't getting resolved, and all of a sudden, you know, Dish and DirecTV are two of the biggest providers. You know, all the other cable channels, as large as they are, they're regional. You know, and these are the big national ones, and now both of them are kind of broken when it comes to if you're sitting at home and you don't have any, and maybe you're thinking about getting cable or whatever. Suddenly, you're looking at your options, and they're all kind of broken. Because it's like, well, you get Dish, but you're not going to get these, no matter what you do.
Or yeah,
you get
and
DirecTV,
I mean, just,
and you're just not going to get those.
I mean, as far as Direct goes, they're not losing anything enormous. I mean, Nickelodeon, when you look at like SpongeBob and crap like that, just stuff that airs during the day, that's huge. I mean, I can imagine that the views on that stuff is enormous. Because there's parents that just click on Nickelodeon and leave it on there all day.
If you got kids, so, I mean, that's a deal breaker, I would think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, I would think so too. And I mean, what's the biggest show they lost? South Park, Tosh.0? I mean, what's the biggest individual show?
Probably. Well,
Well, I guess MTV, Jersey Shore. Yeah.
I mean,
I forget that that's a big show because I forget that humanity is a disgusting, disgusting thing.
Yes. But what's interesting is, you know, they've talked about this transition to a la carte television, where you should be able to pick what networks you want to carry through your providers, and how that would be a better service. And instead, we've always been treated to you get what we give you. But now the what we give you, because of these arguments, is getting to where, you know, when I signed up for Dish, I had AMC. When you signed up for DirecTV, you had G4 and all these channels, and now you don't.
Yeah, technically they broke a contract with me, so I can actually, if I want to push it, I can break the contract with them.
Right.
And they can't really do anything.
And I think
because
I
my contract was for those channels. Yeah.
Because
I did it with G4, actually. I said that I was going to cancel. They're like, well, you're only a year in your 2-year plan. I said, you broke a contract with me. I paid for this channel. It is no longer there. It is a particular channel that I am buying this package for.
Right.
They go, well, we're sorry, sir. We'll give you movie channels free for 6 months.
Right. And
I was like,
for
okay.
me, you know, I raised my package up a tier to get AMC. And now it's not available, so I should be able to adjust to that or cancel completely if I wanted to. But the thing about it is this a sign of things to come, to where you have no guarantee that you're going to have these networks? I mean, what happens when, you know, Fox, they decide to argue with Fox and suddenly
there's
Fox
Sports?
They're
going to have to put an arbitration clause in every single agreement they do, saying that, by the way, at any time, we may change the channels that you're paying for. And that's like, I mean, and you have to sign the contract to get the service. So
right.
It's going to get to the point where they can basically do whatever they want, and there's nothing you can do about it unless you just have basic TV. And even then, basic TV's it's considered a privilege, not a necessity. So,
but if they do that, then I would think that people are going to run away from these companies because, you know, we're paying money for TV, and all of a sudden, arbitrarily, we're going to lose huge chunks of our TV, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's like, why would I want to sign with Dish or DirecTV if there's a chance I'm going to lose Disney next or whatever, you know, and just lose everything associated with it? You know, what if they decide to dump HBO, and then all those people are like, I'm paying for HBO, and that's one you pay for separately. And they could, you know,
right.
I don't know. It just seems to me like this is a bad trend as far as for the
it is.
For the customers. And I would think it would be bad for the company, because if we wanted to, if they gave people shit about, you know, dropping service or whatever, if I called up Dish and I said, I'm done, I don't want this because I wanted to watch Breaking Bad, and they're like, well, you can't do that, you're going to pay this and that, and then they argue with me, I could put together a class action lawsuit and have a case.
Yes, which is what I was talking about. They have to have an arbitration clause saying that any class action lawsuit brought up for them will be handled out of court. AT&T has done it. They make everyone sign an arbitration clause as well.
But
and now
can they
you
make
can't
us now,
sue AT&T.
And what the, but what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to come out with this thing and make all of us who are existing customers retroactively have signed it. And they'll
yes.
say, well, we're going to shut, you're gonna shut your TV off at midnight tonight if you don't agree to this.
Yes, and they can do that technically. Once the original contract is up, they can.
And, but we could still get them and say, "Well, before that existed, you screwed us
it's
over."
It's shady, but unfortunately, with contracts are shitty. that's as simple as it is. I deal with contracts all day long, so
It just seems to me when it comes to this type of thing, where it's television, it's certain channels. You know, there's a certain expectation that I'm going to get to watch FX, I'm going to get to watch TNT and TBS, and if they're telling me at any moment we could just drop it and not bring it back, I'm not going to want to go with that provider. Unless they're all doing this, it becomes a game of Russian roulette with your TV choice.
Yeah, right now, Charter, who I've always considered the worst of the bundle, I mean, I've always considered the fact that they're more expensive and this and that is just terrible, they're the ones who haven't dropped anybody.
Right. For now, but maybe they will. But
what's
interesting is that the networks are fighting back now with the internet, because I mentioned earlier AMC sent out their big press releases about you can watch Breaking Bad, stream it online, at least the premiere, if you are a Dish subscriber. I'm suspecting, I haven't looked into it, but I'm suspecting you have to sign up and give them your information, and they're going to try and use it to strong arm their argument that people want AMC. But, you know, the Viacom networks could do the same thing. They could. And a lot of those shows that there are available, they're going to make them available streaming in different places, like Tosh.0 and Jersey Shore probably. But if that's what the networks start doing, what they're doing is they're kind of telling the cable services and the satellite services, we don't really need you to reach our customers. You know, AMC is saying, okay, Dish, you don't want us, that's fine. We can reach our customers directly via the internet. And if they want to watch our programming and we go this route, then maybe we don't need you at all. And it seems to me like it's people are afraid that we're going to abandon cable and we're going to abandon satellite and move online. And these strong
Which will never happen because there's just too many places that just can't.
Right. But I do think that more people do watch online than did, say, 10 years ago. And I think when you do things...
Well, of course. It's easier now.
But I think what's happening is cases like this where, you know, they're arguing over money is going to push more people into trying. And those numbers are going to increase a little faster. You know, it's not going to happen tomorrow or even next month. But they're actually hurting themselves by pushing people to basically not have a choice. So suddenly there are people who have Dish service who really want to watch Breaking Bad premiere, and they're going to go online and do it. And then they may find out, wow, there were fewer commercials, and I kind of liked that, and that wasn't so bad. People who've never done it before. I've never watched TV online before, but this wasn't bad. And suddenly they're going to look for what else they can watch online, you know, whenever they want to and stuff like that. And I think
HBO Go has already been showing that it's hurt somewhat. It's hurt people.
Yeah, and that's a big – HBO Go has been a big issue because there's people who don't have HBO who want to get HBO Go. And HBO is like, no, we don't want to do that because we don't want to walk down that road of you don't even have to have our service to be able to watch Game of Thrones or whatever it is. But I think, I don't know, to me it seems like it's all a step in that direction where TV is changing as far as how we access it. It's not going to change overnight, but I don't think these battles, which the only people that get hurt in this is the fans and the customers and the viewers.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's just pushing them away because now, like you said, suddenly we're sitting here in our market and we're going, wow, Charter looks the best. And Charter.
Well, yeah, and it's like if it wasn't like you have Dish and I have Direct. So, like, if I wanted to watch Tosh.0, South Park, Workaholics on, you know, the night it comes out, I'll have to go over to your house and see it.
Right.
And it's the same way. Like, if you wanted to watch. It's like tonight, if you wanted to watch Breaking Bad as it debuted, you'd have to come over here and watch it.
Right.
I'm going to be watching it as it debuts.
And that's kind of ridiculous. But that's what they're doing to people.
Yeah.
And I I think it's
and
a
I
bad
feel like
sign.
Either or of them has to worry, because if I'm watching at your house, I'm watching and I'm like, you know what, these channels, I can deal with these channels being gone to get these channels back. So I think I'm going to switch over here, or I'm going to switch over there. So
right.
I can see people switching and stuff. I mean, we had a guy in today at where I work looking for cables to hook up his laptop to his TV. I'm like, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. He goes, well, you know, I have a bunch of grandkids, and they watch SpongeBob, and they took SpongeBob away. It's, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yep.
And that was one TV show. That guy watched one TV show, and he was willing to connect his.
That's one of the biggest shows in the country.
Yeah, true.
And like we said earlier, that's kids. I mean, you don't mess with a kid's TV show because the kids are fanatical about that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine if they would have said, oh, yeah, we're going to drop iCarly because we having disagreements with this or that. Oh, my God, there would be a riot.
Oh, yeah. It's just crying children everywhere and not understanding.
Exactly.
They don't understand that, oh, it's a contract
dispute.
And they
don't care.
No, they don't care about any of that crap. They're like, I don't give a shit. Where's SpongeBob?
Exactly. Anyway, we spent plenty of time on this. Let's talk about something a little more happy, like Daniel Tosh's rape joke.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you the main thing, the biggest thing I think that surprised me is that this is the first time everyone's up in arms about Daniel Tosh making a bad joke. Oh my God, has no one ever seen or heard Daniel Tosh before?
Also, this was at his stand-up show, and I mean...
Wasn't it a heckler?
He's... Yeah, well, okay, so... All right, so like, let's go back. I've seen tons of Daniel Tosh stand-up. He has a joke that he uses all the time. He said... Broccoli is a lot like anal sex. You know, you hated it as a kid, but you grow to like it as an adult. And like, he makes jokes like that all the time. That's a terrible rape joke about raping children. Okay.
Right. And he's always done that. He even does that a little bit on Pod.0.
Oh yeah. He makes terrible jokes. And if you're not, and he's at his thing, he's talking about jokes. He talks about rape jokes. Some woman said rape jokes aren't funny. And I mean, first of all, if you don't think rape jokes are funny, why the hell are you at a Daniel Tosh
show? Yeah, really.
Show? I mean, I'm not defending the guy. Maybe he went a little too far, sure, but still, it's like getting mad at Don Rickles because he made fun of you. You know?
Right.
It's like that's the fucking point, people.
And,
you know,
and,
that's what
and
this
the thing
guy
is,
does.
It's a joke, and I hate
and
that people don't
was,
have a sense of humor anymore.
Yeah, and what he said was, wouldn't it be funny if this chick got raped right now? Like if like 10 guys just jumped on her and started raping her. And that was his joke, right? Because she heckled and he decided to fight back at her heckling. His joke back wasn't that big. It was just whatever. It was that. That's all it was.
And
you
I
know
can
what?
See
if he
how
didn't like
English, that is mean, but once she started it.
Yeah, she started it, yeah. And it's Daniel Tosh.
And he's a comedian. He's going to make a joke that might offend you. That's what he does. He's an offensive comedian.
It's one thing if you go to see Michael. It's one thing if you go to see Michael Richards and he says the N-word. Yeah, that you should be up in arms about. But right. Daniel Tosh making a rape joke is just.
I don't. It's like if you go see Dave
Jerry
Chappelle.
Seinfeld
if you go see Dave Chappelle and he makes an and says the N-word, are you offended?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You expected it. So, anyways, now. Because of this whole issue, one, he's apologized, which surprised me. Two, his little animated show that he's been whoring out on Tosh.0, they're actually retooling the premiere because it had a rape joke in it, and they're taking it out. So suddenly he's got to tone back and change what he does because this one lady heckled him, and he got back at her in a way that put her in her place and got her to shut the hell up, which is what you're supposed to do as a comedian if you're heckled.
And, like, you know, there's people out there that are like, you know what, it was wrong, and rape is not a laughing matter. It's like, first of all, I get it. For some people, that stuff, you don't joke about that stuff. It's
right.
Not something you joke about. But it's they're kind of missing the point. If Jerry Seinfeld made a rape joke, then I would see why you'd be offended. Because he doesn't do that. And if he said, I hope this woman gets raped, that would be something terrible. But Daniel Tosh makes his living off making terrible jokes like that.
Right.
And rape jokes are constant. So
and child
I
rape
don't
and,
get...
and all kinds of – I mean, he's – like I said,
yeah.
He's an offensive comedian, like you said, Don Rickles. If you go in there and Don Rickles makes fun of you and you cry and try to sue Don Rickles, the judge should go, where the fuck did you think you were?
Yeah, exactly. What did you expect?
And you know, Daniel Tosh, like, this is what he does. He makes very disturbing, he pushes that envelope to the point of, oh my God, you're disgusting. All the time.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not on anyone's side, necessarily.
I'm against her. I'm not necessarily saying he did the
right
thing.
I'm against her, yeah.
I think she needs to get over it. Plus, I don't believe that there are topics that flat out you cannot make jokes about.
I think you should make jokes about anything.
I think if you can't laugh about something, even if it's uncomfortable, then you need to lighten up and get a sense of humor. Because everything
those are the worst kind of people.
Yeah, and unfortunately,
the worst kind of people are
people
who just can't laugh.
And those are the people who are ruling entertainment. Because they get offended, and then everyone has to, like this, oh, take the rape jokes out of the show because this one girl got offended.
I mean,
so look at the power
that she
now has.
Do we have to go back to, like, Gilbert Gottfried making the tsunami jokes? It's like, sure, it may have been kind of soon for that because the tsunami was still happening when he was making the jokes.
Right.
But he's always been pretty, you know, on edge. He's always been that way. So when people were all offended by it, you know, people are like, why are you offended by him making these jokes? He makes terrible jokes all the time. And now you're offended because he made one? And he lost his job as the Aflac duck? I mean, you would think, with just like people talk about how, oh, there's more violence on TV than there was when I was a kid. It's like, okay, sure, there's more of that stuff. But for some reason, we've taken a step back. We just get so easily offended. You would think we would be less offended by the stuff we watch. But it's not true at all.
No, and we're just becoming more and more radical and ridiculous. And the reason is because if I say I'm offended, then they'll go and apologize and they'll change everything and they'll back down and they'll stop being that way. Because they're so afraid of what kind – I don't know what power they think I have over them. I don't know why, you know, this could ruin Daniel Tosh's career, I guess. I mean, is it really that serious? But apparently it is.
I don't know if that's serious necessarily. I mean,
I don't know. I mean,
for the most part, especially on Twitter, it seemed like most people had his back with it. Most people said, what did you expect from him? You know?
But then why are they changing Brickleberry?
Because
they can't. The powers that be that are over him, which is Viacom and Comedy Central, they are afraid. So they're making a change because they don't want to deal with the controversy and they want to get away with it. It's the same thing they've done to South Park over and over again, where they're afraid. They're working from a place of fear. And to me, one woman getting offended because she tried to trash talk him and he slammed her into the mat with what he said should not be a reason.
She wasn't the only one offended because she, of course, went to the Bleeding Heart groups that love to say, oh my God, that's so sexist. Oh my God,
well,
that's
yeah,
this.
But it started
those
with her.
Groups immediately with it.
And,
yeah, oh yeah.
And I'm sure she showed up and she said, oh, it's the Daniel Tosh concert, and he said I should get raped. And that was it. You know, but the fact is, this one woman had the power to now change this show because she was offended. And that's too much to me. That's too much power to put in the hand of one stupid person.
Oh, I agree.
That's it. I don't know. We've probably talked about that too long now.
True.
Let's talk about what wasn't said at Comic-Con real quick about everything.
Yeah, how about that?
Because, let's see, there was a panel for Supernatural. Everyone was there, including the guy who plays Castiel and Misha Collins, the guy who plays Crowley, whose name I can never remember, and Bobby, which was surprising because Jim Beaver, Bobby, because Bobby is dead. Spoilers. And Bobby's ghost was apparently banished, so that was supposed to be the last we were going to see him, so why would it be at the panel unless it was to say, hey, did you like me last year and last, you know, seven seasons? I'm still surprised. Not to say that Supernatural's not a good show, but I didn't think it would go into eight seasons. I would have thought they would all quit by now, but they're still going.
Oh, I agree. It seems like Jensen Ackles and what's the other guy's
Jared
name?
Jared Padalecki.
Jared Padalecki, yeah. It seems like
they have the most ridiculous names.
Yeah, it seems like they would have done something else by now, other than terrible horror movies.
Well, no, I mean, that's their shtick. But, you know, it's like, I think now Dean's in purgatory, so he's going to come back, but we've already had, I think Dean was in hell, and then Sam was in hell. And we've all kind of done all this, so it's all very silly. And the biggest thing, like we talked about before, it seems like they're not really telling us anything we didn't already know. Like, the Fringe panel, everyone was there, the whole cast was there, and they were like, oh, the future, that episode we did where it was set in the future when the Observers have taken over, the whole season's going to be set in the future. And it's like, yeah, you already told us that. And they're like, well, yeah, but, you know, we're gonna get some kind of a conclusion to the love story between Peter and Olivia. And it's like, you told us that. And that seemed to be a trend for all the TV panels. All the big stars were there. All the executive producers were there for all these shows. And then they proceeded to basically read us the press releases that we already knew. So
yeah, that was kind of strange.
I'm not sure what the point of this was. So honestly, I don't really have anything more to say about Comic-Con.
Yeah, I mean, what else was announced? I guess the stuff on Arrow.
But what did they really say other than, you know, one, yeah, but we'd already knew that Beauty and the Beast, for whatever reason, the Beast is going to look regular. And
yeah.
You know what? I read an article about
it. He's like bald.
I read an article about it, and they said, well, we were thinking about it. You put a lot of prosthetics on your actor, and he's not going to be very effective as an actor. And I'm like, really? Because I thought Ron Perlman did pretty damn good.
Didn't Ron Perlman do it for like 8 years?
It wasn't that long, but I mean, he did fine. He did great.
Let's talk about
Hey,
hold on. Let's talk about everything Ron Perlman's ever done except for Sons of Anarchy.
With heavy makeup
on? He basically
on?
Is always covered in prosthetics.
And the thing is, you can act that way. So they really, just because they're the CW, they wanted him to be pretty. So now it's Beauty and the Mean Beauty is pretty much what it is. Well, he's a beast on the inside. It's like, fuck you. To me, that almost makes me say, I'm done. I don't even want to watch that. You know,
I'm not going to watch it because of that, because I love the Linda Hamilton, Ron Perlman stuff. That was fantastic.
And the whole thing about it was the fact that he can't just be in the world. He can't just walk down the street and buy a hat because, my God, he looks like a freak. You're taking that whole element away from the show, and now he can just be a regular guy who – it might as well be – because it's Christian Kruk. You might as well have hired Michael Rosenbaum and had it be Lex Luthor, because to me it sounds like that's what the Beast is. It's Lex Luthor.
Yeah. He's just a dickhead.
Yeah, that's
like,
it.
Oh.
Beauty and the Mean Beauty. That's what I'm going to call it.
Beauty and the douchebag. Beauty and the tool.
And, you know, Arrow, they brought out Dinah Lance, so they'll be able to do that whole Black Canary thing.
Yeah, like,
love
story. It's like, oh, no way.
It's like, oh, Green Arrow's a love story? Oh, my God. When did that happen?
Yeah.
So,
nothing. Shocker.
So I guess the more shocking news was happening outside of Comic-Con, which, you know, we don't really talk much about American Idol here, but... this is a big deal for this show. A show that lost 25% of its audience and was battling for first place with 20 million viewers is getting, you know, which is barely more than what The X Factor did in its first season. Now The X Factor is coming back with Demi Lovato, Britney Spears, and I think that's a little more star power than what they had last year. Whether that translates to viewers, I don't know. They're already saying in Idol they're disappointed with the talent that they're seeing.
As much as Demi Lovato does do a good job with her music and everything, I just feel like I don't get how she's going to be able to properly mentor anyone.
No, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me either.
Yeah, but... at least Britney Spears has, you know, she's been around for a while.
Well, yeah, and like Nicole Scherzinger or whatever, as much as she wasn't, I guess, the best at the job, she had also been around for a while and had success, not necessarily great success as a solo artist, but... you know, she had a successful history, even if it wasn't all that long. And Britney Spears has been doing this for a decade, so she's fine. I have no problem with her.
Yeah, I was okay with Lopez. I was okay with Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
Both of them made sense, so.
But now American Idol, they lost Steven Tyler and Jennifer Lopez, and there's talk of Randy Jackson transitioning into, like, a mentor role, which is what Jimmy Iovine's been doing. So I don't know how they would get rid of Jimmy. I don't know what that would be. But
I think they need to get another mean guy, though.
Well, now they need to get a whole new panel then, basically. I mean,
yeah.
And I don't know.
Well, you know what? I've never liked America's Got Talent. I never liked Howie Mandel annoys the hell out of me now. Like, he was a fine comedian.
Oh, my God.
But him as a
show,
person. Like,
oh, he's so annoying.
He never
shows.
Shuts up.
No. And he champions the worst acts.
Oh my God, he does, and he's doing it again this year. At least, and Howard Stern, you know, who said what you want about the
guy.
I
loved Howard Stern almost knocking him out over that one karaoke guy,
Big Barry. Yeah,
yeah.
Because, he's like, he's absolutely terrible.
Because he did this last year, like, with a group of little guys dressed like dwarves or gnomes, yard gnomes or whatever, and they were terrible. And Howie kept pushing him forward, going, "Oh, these guys are great." And it's like, Howie, just because you're enjoying the train wreck doesn't mean they have talent. So I love Howard putting him in his place a little bit.
And Howard actually is coming out and saying things that real people would say. Like, I feel like, and you know my favorite, Jay. You know, the Nutshot guys.
Well, that's because you're an idiot. I mean,
and he's saying stuff like, this is something, he goes, this is something that people do like. I mean,
look at Jackass.
The reason Jackass did so well is, you know, because of whatever. The reason some of these comedians do well is because they hurt themselves. People love that Three Stooges thing. They
the
love
reason
that stuff.
YouTube exists is for Nutshell.
Bob Saget's career, it basically, he has to thank the Nutshot videos. So, I mean, you know, there's that. And
that's
Howard's
true.
Like, this is something that
how many different ways
like.
Can you narrate a Nutshot video?
Yeah, exactly. So, and, you know, to me, I think Howard's all, like, he's so far, he's been rough on some people. And he does have a soft spot for children. So right. Sometimes he lets children go when they don't deserve it.
But before he even started on the show, he said he wished children acts weren't even allowed.
Yeah, and it's just hard to tell a kid that you're
not
good.
Yeah, how do you tell a 5-year-old?
You're not
staring
good
at
for
you
this.
With those big eyes, and then you're like, "You suck, go home." And then they start crying, and you feel like a monster.
So. Oh yeah, and it happened to him, like the little black kid who wasn't bad at all.
No,
he was like, "No, you're not bad. I don't think this is what you need to be doing." And he tried his hardest to try to, you know, be nice to him, and the kids started crying.
You
and he's like, "Oh my god!"
To a 5-year-old, they're going to cry.
So, like, he's up there. He's talking to the kid. He's hugging the kid because he feels terrible now.
Right.
He wants to quit the show because he feels like a monster because he told a little kid that he's not good enough. So,
right.
But you know
but
what?
They're the
at
ones
least
that put him
it.
In that position. Yeah, at least yeah. he didn't cave and go, okay, you can go through.
Yeah, he did it, you know.
He's and actually I feel been, like for the most he's part, been a real surprise to me because I wasn't sure how he was going to be. But he's been really, really solid. And he's taken the job seriously. And I think he's a better balance for Howie's being an idiot than Pierce was.
Yeah.
Because Pierce was just mean and hated everybody.
Sharon's fine. Sharon is like right down the middle, and she really does like people. So right. She can read when someone's a good person, and she sometimes lets people by because they're nice people. But she also doesn't like certain acts because she feels like she doesn't like that person.
Right.
And I mean, I agreed with her. She did not like that Aurora Light show people because she kind of got a creepy vibe off of them. But so did I. I think I even said on Twitter, I'm pretty sure this guy has a couple dead hookers in the trunk. I mean, he's just a creep.
Oh, you can't say that. Now hookers are offended, and we have to change the show.
I got to apologize. Sorry, hookers. I'll watch what I say because you're an important part of society.
There you go.
But anyway. I think that, you know, when Simon left and Simon was the mean guy, the show took a dive because nobody's mean. Someone has to be mean. Someone has to say the things that have to be said.
Right.
Randy became the mean guy and he's still just not mean enough. So I don't mind everybody leaving. And I saw some of the replacement names. Mariah Carey is a megastar, you know?
Yeah.
So she would be fine on there. She would be that pop star person.
Right, and she was almost on the X Factor last year, but that hurricane or something grounded her plane. But she did do a UK X Factor where she kind of guest mentored, and she was great. And you talk about someone who's had a career and been there and done it all, especially vocally. Oh my God, you can't find someone more qualified.
She's
Whitney's
great vocally. So, yeah, and Adam Lambert, you know, I like this for two reasons. First of all, he's young.
Right.
He's so much younger than any judge we've ever had. And two, he's done it. He knows what it takes to get
where
you need to go.
And not that long ago. And he knows how to find your niche, find your voice, be yourself. Because
he's doing fairly well.
Yeah, and he didn't win, but he knew how to find success. And he didn't compromise his vision for what kind of artist he was going to be while he was on the show.
Yeah, and you know what? He's also gay, which is something that is huge now. That will draw in a huge audience.
That's big
I'm
for American Idol
because
Glee
is gay.
But American Idol has always had a weird relationship with gayness because so many of the contestants would not come out while they were on the show. Now, whether that was their choice or the producer's choices has never been made very clear, but it's been something that's kind of been hanging over the show in that, are they gay friendly? How could you be in entertainment when you're not? Even Adam Lambert didn't come out till he was off the show. So having
Lady Gaga, I feel like Lady Gaga is the person who finally championed people and said, you know, just say it.
Yeah.
There's no point in hiding it because it's going to come out. Right. So you might as well say it now and find out who your true fans are.
Well, there you go. That needs to be the panel. Mariah Carey, Adam Lambert, and Lady Gaga. That would bring
people. That would be insane. Yeah, I mean, Lady Gaga might be mean too.
I don't know. She did a stint on So You Think You Can Dance, and all she did was gush over everybody and throw her shoes at them and tell them.
Oh
how
yeah,
great
you're
they
right. She's a bad choice.
I mean, you want someone who's going to actually do it.
Yeah, we need like an old rocker. Like I thought Steven Tyler was going to be kind of mean. I really thought he was going to be, but like some old rocker who just doesn't give any fucks anymore. That's who we need. We need like Mick Jagger on the panel, you know?
Right.
Who openly said, that's terrible. Ah.
It needs to happen. I mean, they need to make this decision fast.
Could you imagine Jagger on there? That would be amazing. I would watch it again this season. I love Mick Jagger. He's hilarious.
Honest to God, if they get Mariah Carey or Adam Lambert, I'll watch it just to see how they are. But if they get Mick Jagger with those two, that panel would be crazy.
it's literally every age range.
Yeah.
It's almost every music type. I mean, other than rap and stuff, they don't focus on rap.
You've got R&B, you got rock, you got pop rock.
You know what else? If they get an old country star who's kind of rough, that might not be bad. Because country is something that never
Toby
gets.
Keith.
Yeah, well, he's pretty rough though.
Yeah, but I hate him.
I know you hate Toby Keith, and so do a lot of people. But he is rough, and he is
a
megastar.
Pull Garth Brooks out of retirement.
I think he's too sweet and nice.
Oh, he'd be the nice one if he was there.
You know who would be mean, though? Chris Gaines.
That's what they do. They get Chris Gaines.
they should have him in one of those spinning chairs, like on The Voice. He just spins around, puts on the wig, spins back around. Now he's Chris Gaines. Puts on his soul patch, you know?
So they start with Garth, who goes, I thought you were great. It was sweet. And then they switch over to Mariah while she's talking. He's jamming a wig on his head.
Put the soul patch. All right, spins back around. He's got a black turtleneck on.
They put red. They put red light on him. They were like, "Oh, that wasn't any good at all." Perfect. Chris Gaines. There's our pick.
Your panels: Chris Gaines, Garth Brooks, Mariah Carey, and Adam Lambert.
Mariah Carey. That makes no sense at all. All right, but it'll be interesting. So I'm sure we'll check in again. Maybe next month they'll have some names for us. There's actually.
Let's talk about.
What do you want to talk about?
What's up?
I don't know. There's not much else to talk about.
Sudeikis leaving.
He hasn't officially said it, but he came so close. He's either playing hardball with his contract because it is up. Or he's leaving.
It's like every year someone else prominent leaves, and there's always hints that he's going to leave. And really, honestly, out of all the people that have left, he's still doing the best. He's in two or three movies a year.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Most of them every day, apparently.
And he's got a voice on Cleveland Show. He does a lot of voiceover work. He's got that perfect voice for that. He'd be fine.
Yeah, he does. He's the voice of the Olive Garden.
Pasta House. If he leaves, what's interesting to me is that's three of the major voices of SNL, as far as I'm concerned. Andy Samberg, not so much in sketches, but with the digital shorts, was a big part of it. Kristen Wiig, obviously, it's been the Kristen Wiig show for like five years. And then Jason Sudeikis is this utility player guy who's the voiceover guy. He's been like that solid go-to guy for so many things.
Yeah, he's not the funniest guy there, but he's like Daryl Hammond, you know?
Yeah.
He was always incredibly reliable for whatever role he was going to do.
Right.
It may not be the funniest role, but he's going to play alongside the Will Ferrell of the show so well.
But maybe he's angling for more money because he's Mitt Romney on the show. This is a big – this is, you know, SNL shine during election years usually, and that's what this is. So maybe he's just trying for that. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But either way, SNL is going to be interesting to watch this season. I can't wait to see what happens without Kristen Wiig dominating every damn sketch.
Yeah, the other girls will get a time to shine.
So maybe Abby Elliott will get a character. There were a couple of renewals.
Except for the Kardashians.
There were a lot of renewals of non-genre shows, but then Falling Skies got picked. It seems like everything this summer got renewed. All the summer shows.
Yeah, I was just thinking, what got canceled?
I don't think
other than terrible comedies.
The only show that's ending is Eureka, and that was canceled last year, and it's just finally ending. I think tomorrow is the last episode. Again, we're recording on Sunday, so Monday night's the last episode, which is sad. I think that's been a signature show for sci-fi, and especially as the show transitioned away from Stargate and the more, you know, Battlestar Galactica and serious types of hardcore science fiction, it went into more of this light, quirky stuff.
I always love when shows cross over, and its crossovers with Warehouse 13 were always fun.
Yeah.
It's actually sad that we're not going to see that anymore. Even though it was only like two characters ever really crossed over, but still.
But there is the
speaking
chance.
Of crossover. Did you see the crossover announcement at Comic-Con? I actually just remembered this. It's about cartoons.
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
Is that going to be a movie or a TV? That's a TV thing, isn't it?
I don't know. It's like Avengers: Earth of Mightiest Heroes, which there's been rumors that it is set in the same universe as Ultimate Spider-Man. We haven't had any proof yet because Nick Fury is the same Nick Fury in both of them for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about it is pretty similar, but we have not had any proof yet of whether or not it actually is going to be, the other way. So they finally kind of said that those two are going to cross over and that they are in the same universe. And you're like, well, that's cool. That's interesting. But then they threw in the third cartoon that's crossing over, which just is confusing to me, which is Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah. And that making the first official merging of Marvel and Disney properties since Disney bought Marvel.
So now what you're telling me is Perry the Platypus is in the same universe as Spider-Man and, you know, the Avengers?
No, you have the platypus with Rocket Raccoon.
I know there's going to be a Spider-Ham episode coming up soon. So.
Yeah. Now, is it going to be Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes or Avengers Assemble? Because Avengers Assemble is going to be the new Avengers cartoon, which I don't know. Because they were never clear
as to whether
Avengers Assemble is Avengers Assemble the sequel to Earth's Greatest Heroes?
Yes, it's because it's called Marvel's Avengers Assemble. Because they wanted to get the name Marvel in there, and then Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes they think is too much of a name. They're really just doing it so they can change animation styles.
Well, they also did Avengers. I think Avengers Assemble was Marvel's Avengers Assemble was the name of the show in the UK and any European country that had the Emma Peel Avengers, because that's the Avengers to all of those people. So
yeah,
they kind of have
to
tweak the name a little bit.
So it should be interesting, though. I'm not sure what's going to happen.
But it's kind of cool. That
any shows that you saw?
Any what?
Any new shows that you've seen that are going to be any good? I mean, I've looked at a couple of them, like that 666 show that looks okay.
I haven't really seen those new shows coming up. I don't really.
For the most part, it's all stuff that I'm like, I don't know if I'm excited for it or not. I mean,
I'll check them out of curiosity just because I do that because I feel like as a geek, I have to watch.
I mean, I made a list. I made a list of the new shows I'm going to be watching so I can record them. But, like, Revolution, Arrow, Elementary, Beauty and the Beast, and 66 Park Avenue, those are honestly the only shows that I'm actually willing to record. And I'm probably going to drop Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'll – I'll probably still watch the premiere, but I think I'm going to get mad at it and just quit.
Yeah.
But
I'll probably drop
– I think Revolution's going to be good. Arrow's going to be good.
I'll probably drop Arrow because
Elementary.
I just really like that character. Yeah, and over in the UK, there's a lot of hubbub about this being crap because it's kind of like I actually don't know. Was it officially announced as a American version of Sherlock?
No, and that's what people got upset about was that the network, I think it's the same network, was in negotiations with Stephen Moffat and whoever over there who does Sherlock to do an American version of Sherlock. And then they abandoned those, and suddenly they developed Elementary.
Yeah, because I mean, it's set in today.
Right.
Everything is very similar to it. But I
Right.
love. Apparently, people don't like Lucy Liu, which I didn't know that because I like Lucy Liu.
Oh, I've always liked her, and I think her as Watson is interesting to me. I like it.
Me too. And then I like the other guy from Eli Stone.
Yeah, he's a good
So it
actor.
should be interesting to see
He
what
gets
he
to use his
does.
real
But.
accent, so I always feel good for actors who don't have to fake an American accent every damn day. There's so many of them.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Hugh Laurie.
Yeah, Hugh Laurie's been an interesting one to me. He's probably more than any of the
Most of the
others.
cast of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It's always funny to me. It's like there's like seven British people on there, and then
It's
just
crazy to me
one of them.
how many
Yeah.
British people are on American television pretending to be American. It's
I
insane to
always
me.
think it's funny how many people don't know. Like True Blood, for example. There's another show where almost everybody on there is hiding their accent or gaining a new one.
Yeah, doing that horrible Cajun accent.
Yeah. The transition from British accent to American accent to Cajun American accent, whew, that's rough. And I like True Blood, but Asuke! It's
Well,
like, they're like, okay, you're going to have a southern accent. And he goes, all right, what should I look at to get some lessons? And they're like, well, here's some old Foghorn Leghorn videos. Why don't you try that one out? And
now they're watching
he's
Swamp
like,
People and
yeah. It's like,
all
I'm
right.
going to go with this accent. I like this accent.
I think we're about done.
Yep, it was fun.
Anything coming up that you're gonna watch? You're gonna watch some Tosh Point? Oh, never mind. Can't watch that.
Yeah, I can't. Gonna watch Breaking Bad tonight. How about you?
Oh,
Oh!
I can watch it online.
Yeah, well, I get to watch it on my giant TV.
like I said, Eureka is wrapping up its season tonight. So then next week, for all the geeks out there, the new seasons of Warehouse 13 and Alphas is back. I know you never really got into Alphas, but it got better.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe you. I
And
just, I don't know. And
good news, good news for.
it's mostly because I just felt like I gave all my trust to these shows about superheroes because I love superheroes, and I get No Ordinary Family in the first few episodes of Alphas, and I'm like, never again.
Well, it was rough in the
Never
beginning.
again. And No Ordinary Family was rough the whole way.
Yeah, no, I actually walked away from that show. I almost walked away from Alphas, but I never completely did. And it got a lot better and more interesting. And then you know how at the end of Heroes they kind of came out
Yeah.
to the world? Well, that's what they did at the end of the first season of Alphas. So now we get to see what happens after that.
Oh.
Other than that, Falling Skies, Teen Wolf got renewed. Teen Wolf's another show that I thought kind of sucked and was really
It's
boring in
terrible.
its first season, and suddenly in the second season, I'm really interested in it. And I did
Really?
walk away from the first season, then I decided to give it another try because people kept talking about how
You
great it
know what?
was.
If it was called anything but Teen Wolf, I probably would give it more of a chance.
Oh yeah, you can't think
But
about Michael J. Fox.
yeah, that's the problem. It's like, you know, that you're not going to name a show Back to the Future and then make it like a horrible post-apocalyptic sadding, sad thing. It's Back to the Future, you know?
Hey,
And I just feel
that's why
like
Mockingbird Lane is that instead of the Munsters, because it's not going to be the same.
because yeah.
And
But and
actually, we're having the same problem with Beauty and the Beast.
they're getting a prominent comedian to become Herman Munster, but it's not going to be funny. And how about another prominent comedian to be Grandpa? One of the funniest people on the planet. But
And
it's not going to be funny.
it'll have elements of humor. It's just not going to be a traditional comedy.
I feel like they're going to do like the Tim Burton style,
Yeah,
which is fine by me.
go for more weird than. All right, well,
Yeah.
it's been so long that I don't remember anything, so I'm going to let you tell people where they can find you and me and us and everything online, because you're good at that.
Well, of course, you can find me. I'm at 8daysofgeek.com. I'm always there, always doing something. I don't write very often, but I am the guy you talk to if you want to write for us. So if you ever are interested, get a hold of me. You can contact me with my email, which is brandon@8daysofgeek.com. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Brando Supreme. And you can learn anything else you want about me on my about.me/Brandon C. Williams.
Look at you.
Oh, yeah. And I've decked this thing out with absolutely everything. There's even a phone number on there that you can contact me with.
Wow.
I mean, it's a voicemail number. You can leave whatever wacky message.
For the site or for you?
Yeah. It's for the site.
So there's a voicemail number. What is that number?
Yeah, which is 754-273-6397.
I'm sorry. I wasn't paying any attention to you. What was that number?
754-273-6397.
And so they can call that number. They can leave a voicemail for this podcast or for you or for me or for anything else on the site.
You can do whatever you want. You can even text that number.
You could leave a rape joke on that voicemail.
You can leave a rape joke. Leave your best rape joke. And the rape joke that I find the funniest, I will say on air.
Oh.
With Bill Compton's accent.
Oh, even better. Well, please, for the love of God, somebody leave a rape joke, because I want to have that moment. Is that it for you?
Yeah, definitely for me.
All right, well.
How about you? Do you remember what your 8 Days to Geek email is?
Is it Jason.Hughes or Jason Hughes?
Nope, Jason J. It's your name.
I know, but there's been, it could be.
Is your middle initial dot?
Maybe. I have, you know, because my Huffington Post email address has a dot in it, that's what throws me.
Wow.
So my email address is JasonJHughes@8daysageek.com. And you can find me at the Huffington Post, now officially forever, apparently. So that's exciting. And other than that, you can find me doing podcasts here, and you can follow me on Twitter at UltraVersion21. You can call that voicemail number and leave me a message if you want, or a rape joke, and then Brandon will say it in his best Asuke voice.
Asuke!
And
he's going to rape you.
I think that might be about it. You got anything else?
No, that's it. Yeah, definitely, you know, follow 8 Days of Geek on Twitter as well.
We'll hit you one more time. It'll be early August, so depending, we'll probably have to start talking about the fall season, because that may be what it is. So we'll talk to you in about a month for that, and come back every week for the return of all your other favorite 8 Dag podcasts, and we will see you next time.